from half court, or maybe it was full court, and the bucket went in, the Chargers win. We're going to talk to Butch coming up.
Well, I remember Butch as a referee. He came out to referee with us one, and I think it was the only time he ever refereed. He got run into, and I think his leg got broken. That was the end of his refereeing career.
And then he made a career into radio broadcasting with KYRS in Sheraton back in 1979. We're going to talk to Butch. And how about Larry Meixel? Called the game in Ottumwa against Washington when Sheraton almost goes to state. They're in the sub-state final, and they run up against the skyscraper Frederickson down in Ottumwa, and Washington beats Sheraton by 6. And we're going to talk to Larry Meixel about that game. Lots of great history from 1987. We're also going to talk to Bob Kane. He's the coach that got the Chargers to the state tournament back in 1972. We've got all kinds of great interviews coming up. And Jim, I think we're going to talk to one of the players from 1972.
We're going to try to get a hold of Jim Greeley. He's out with family and friends tonight, but he's going to try to take our phone call, and we're going to talk to him. He was a big factor in the 72 Chargers.
And we'll also talk to Coach Schooley. Coach Schooley, at 31 years old, is the youngest coach in Class 3A, the Elite Eight. Maybe the youngest coach in all of the state tournament teams for boys basketball, but certainly in Class 3A, the Elite Eight, at 31 years old and piloting this 21-3 Sheraton Charger team and going up against this Dubuque-Wallert team, now 20-4. A number 4 against a number 5. It's going to be a barn burner in what used to be the old barn, but now is Wells Fargo Arena.
Wells Fargo is a beautiful place. I miss the games at Wells Fargo. I mean, there was there was just something about the tournament and that place, and everybody packed in there together.
And the state with the light bulb screwed in, showing where the teams were from.
Yeah, and they still have that. The Athletic Association, or the Girls Union, I don't remember which one, tried to tell people that thing had been destroyed, and somebody found it in their barn.
Oh my!
And they brought it back, and now it's in the Hall of Pride.
Unbelievable. Jim, I know Jake and Mark are courtside getting ready to go. We'll check in with them in a little bit. We'll take a commercial break and be right back right after these messages on the pregame show. It's Sheraton and Dubuque-Wallert coming up, tip-off 2 o'clock. We'll be right back. This is Thunder Country, KIIC.
Around the clock, 7 days a week, residents of the Northridge Assisted Living Center in Sheraton have access to the individualized attention they need, provided by a caring professional staff. With private suites and the freedom to make their own choices, Northridge residents have greater control over their lives. Northridge creates an environment in which residents can continue to enjoy their individuality, their independence, and their dignity in a secure and supportive community. Northridge is conveniently located next to the Lucas County Health Center in Sheraton. Stop in or call to schedule a tour.
See what a smile.
Sporting event on Thunder Country KIIC is brought to you by Sheraton Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, part of your healthy solutions. Go to Hy-Vee.com and see the healthy solutions that Hy-Vee brings to you.
Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every eye.
Hi, this is Alice at Bill and Ray's, here with a hot spring special that's sure to melt the rest of the snow off your wheel wells. During the month of March, Bill and Ray's will replace your brakes for only $2.50 per axle. This offer is good on any in-stock brakes. And if your drums need replaced, Bill and Ray's will replace those for $85. So get your truck ready for all that spring work with this brake job special only during March. Bill and Ray's, 16 truck bays, a new trucker's lounge, on-site parts department, and on-location repairs. Call us at 673-3370.
Back at Wells Fargo Arena, waiting the 2 o'clock tip-off here, Sheraton and Dubuque Waller. Sheraton's first trip to the state tournament, and maybe it's getting old for some of you, but yep, it's true. 42 years was the last time the Chargers made it to the state tournament. And alongside here, Jim Frank, as we await the 2 o'clock tip-off. And, you know, Jim, back in my day when I was in high school, I always remembered you as the guy that, man, you didn't want to say anything too loud from the stands, or I didn't want to look at you funny, or I might get thrown out. But you're just a little pussycat when it comes right down to it.
I'm a heck of a nice guy.
But, Jim, you've got all this history. You've got all this history from years gone by, and it's interesting, the games that you've looked at back in, 1923, when Sheraton played where?
Well, before the old school gym was built, or the school in the basement of what is the school now.
It's not there now.
Yeah. People didn't think that Sheraton had a high school basketball team, but they used to play in the stores uptown. They would find an empty store, and they would meet in that building, and they would make a court in there, and they would play. There might be a heater in the middle of the floor that they had to play around.
Oh, my. But the first game, 1923-1924, in the old gym downstairs in the basement. And really, how did that year come out in the first year that Sheraton had a basketball court?
Actually, it wasn't great. Sheraton ended up with a 3-11 season that year. They started out, the first game was against Osceola. It wasn't Clark of Osceola, it was Osceola. And I don't have it written down on my list here which games were at home or not, but I know that that was the first game in the Sheraton gym.
Jim, some people may say, why haven't the Chargers been able to have more success? Why haven't the Chargers seen more success or been able to get through districts and sub-state? And some would answer that that's potentially because of the districts and the conference and the draws that they've been in. Sheraton, a Class 3A school, just a couple of students into Class 3A. If they had a few students less, they'd be in Class 2A.
But, you know, the first four times that they went to state tournament, three of those four times, it was a one-class tournament. Mm. And the last time, it was only a two-class tournament. And as far as I remember, the only school that would have really been 3A that was in that tournament that year was Harlan, that's there again this year.
Unbelievable. Well, Jim, you graduated Sheraton in 1969. What do you remember? What do you remember from that 1972 squad? You weren't that far from home at that time. And we're going to talk to maybe Jim Greeley here coming up a little bit, and we'll talk to Bob Kane coming up. What do you remember from 72?
Well, I remember in 72, Mike Carr, myself, and we had somebody else with us. We wore white pants, red shirts, and we went and led cheers at the state tournament or at the sub-state. And at sub-state, the night we played, Ames played. And Iowa State had a cheer that nobody else did. I mean, it was an oddball cheer. And I had been to a lot of Iowa State games, and I led our fans in that Iowa State cheer, which brought the Ames kids on our side. So we had them yelling with us. We played the first game that night.
Unbelievable. We've got more to come, more great guests, and we'll check in with Jake and Mark coming up in just a little bit as they prepare for today's broadcast live from Wells Fargo Arena. Don't forget, you can not only hear this on 96.7 FM, you can also get it anywhere in the world that you have an internet connection at KIICradio.com. That's our website, KIICradio.com. Make sure you let your family and friends know about it, tweet about it, Facebook about it. And also, within the last couple years, we've added a couple of free apps from your iPhone app store or your Droid app store. You just search under KIIC, download those apps, and you can also listen with just a single click there as well. Back right after this.
Red Haw Realty would like to congratulate the Chargers on a great season and wish them great luck in the games today.
This broadcast sponsored by your Sheraton Napa Auto Parts store. Take advantage of their spring oil filter sale throughout the month of March at your Sheraton Napa Auto Parts store.
For the finest selection of new and used cars and pickups in southern Iowa, shop a home-owned hometown auto dealer. That's Sheraton Ford Mercury.
This program brought to you by Sheraton Ford Mercury.
The VPX 9000 bale processor from Vermeer is simple, durable, and versatile. And in a winter with short feed supplies, it gives you an easy way to stretch your hay supply and better control how much hay you're feeding. The VPX 9000 blows away dust and mold, making the hay more palatable for your cattle and ultimately saving your hay. And the optional scale kit helps you to control feed intake in your herd. Process what you want, when you want, and stretch your hay supply further this year with a VPX 9000 bale processor from Vermeer. Get more information at Bowser Equipment in Alabama.
The Ben Franklin Store on the northeast side of the Sheraton Square is a proud sponsor of this live broadcast of the Sheraton Boys Basketball State Tournament Games. Ben Franklin, your source of team clothing.
Back here on Thunder Country, KIIC, as we get ready for our 2 o'clock tip-off, the Sheraton Chargers at State, Wells Fargo Arena, and they've got a date at 2 with Dubuque Wallert. And joining us now, we've got the very special privilege of having Butch Gibbs, the voice of the Chargers and the voice of KYRS Sports, 105.5 back in the day, and now resident in Wayne County. Butch, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Joe. It's good to see the Chargers on the winning track and playing in Wells Fargo.
I knew that you would be rooting for the Chargers because you rooted for the Chargers so many years ago. Tell us about some of your thoughts and recollections. Now, you know, you called games beginning back in 1979 when KYRS went on the air. Again, that was somewhat of a drought for Sheraton, but you still saw some great basketball.
Yes, I did, Joe. I was there from 79, did the 79-80 through the 84-85 seasons for the girls and boys at Sheraton. And unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of wins in there, but I did see a lot of kids that did play hard. I can't remember a really big blowout. The Sheraton kids were always right there playing hard, doing what they should be doing, being good sports, and got into some tough games, lost some real close ones, but I did enjoy the whole time doing the Sheraton basketball.
Well, Butch, one of my recollections from you, I was growing up in Sheraton, just probably lived about four blocks from the high school there, and heard you call one of probably the best calls I've ever heard on the radio, and that was a basket by Dale Schmidt. Take us through that if you remember that one.
Well, it was in the last few seconds of the ball game. This was at Clark, and at this time, during those years, Pella, Knoxville, and probably Grinnell were usually the top teams in the conference. Sheraton, Centerville, Albia, and Clark kind of played together on their own there in the second half of the standings, but it was always a good ball game between Sheraton and Clark. This night, Sheraton, or I guess Clark was at the free throw line, got a couple of free throws to tie the ball game, and I had just said on the air, well, it looks like we're going to overtime. Well, while I was saying that, the Chargers inbounded the ball from under the basket for the free throw, long pass up to the center court to Dale Schmidt. I think he took a couple of steps beyond the center circle, or maybe he was still in the bottom of that center circle, and let it go, went in at the buzzer, and Sheraton had a wild, close win over Clark. The thing I remember about it is, for one thing, it was the first year of the three-point basket, and I kept saying Sheraton won by two, or actually they won by three because of the long shot. Another thing, Coach Jim Swanson played football and basketball for Simpson College. Clark High School coach John Lowe was a very good basketball player for Luther at the same time. And so they were friends from that, and it always seems they got into wild ball games like this. And I can remember after seeing the basket go in, Coach Swanson jumping about as high as I've seen anybody ever jump, and Coach Lowe just sitting on the bench shaking his head. He couldn't believe it.
That is such a great memory of mine, but you recall it so much better, Butch, and remember so much, so many more details of that. But what a great time it was listening to you on the radio. I know that that's what you're going to be doing today, listening to the Chargers on the radio as well.
Well, in fact, I'm going to be there.
Oh, very good.
I'm going to be in the stands.
Very good. Well, I'm glad to know that. Hey, for our listeners that may have lost track of Butch Gibbs in the KYRS days, tell us what you're up to.
Well, in 1988, I began working at the Wayne County Sheriff's Office, again on the radio, just a different kind of radio. I was a dispatcher and a jailer there for 26 years. Just this year, on January 3rd, I retired. So right now, I'm unemployed, loving it, and just laying around at this time of the year watching basketball all day on television.
Well, and if you're retired, you get to go to Wells Fargo and root on the Chargers. So,
right.
Hey, Butch, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all your years of service and dedication to Charger Athletics at KYRS.
Thank you, Joe. And also one other thing I remember.
Yes.
During our coaches show, when I'd interview that girls basketball coach from Sheridan, that tall guy with not too much hair, I can't think of his name.
I don't remember who that would be.
I used to see a blue baseball helmet bopping up and down along the bottom of the window, trying to look in the window at that time. Now I don't think that guy has to get on his tiptoes to look in the window anymore.
I can come right in the studio. And yes, that's right. I loved radio back then. Got to watch my dad be on the coach's show. And good job out of you, Butch. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. And go Chargers.
Oh, that's great. Butch Gibbs, everybody, from years gone by, KYRS 105.5. And we'll be right back after this.
For all your home decorating needs, including paint, carpet, and fashionable floor coverings, see the Interiors and More store on North 7th Street in Sheraton.
Best-in-class sales, best-in-class service. That's what you get when your local Indianola car dealers join forces here in Warren County, Noble, Southtown, and Waters. With over 1,500 new and pre-owned vehicles in stock at all times, we're sure we'll have the vehicle you're looking for at the price you want to pay. Just go to IndianolaAuto.com and see our complete inventory online. From new Fords to Buicks and GMCs, Chryslers, Dodges, and Jeeps, plus any and every late model, low mileage, pre-owned imaginable. That's IndianolaAuto.com, where you can schedule your service appointment, get directions and hours, find money-saving service specials, and more. And here at IAG, we leave credit histories where they belong, in the past. With guaranteed financing, we look to your credit future to assist in establishing your credit while you drive the new or pre-owned vehicle you deserve. Your complete satisfaction isn't just our goal, it's our only goal. Come to Indianola for every American make and model. Indianola Auto Group.
Johnson Machine Works in Sheraton is a proud sponsor of Charger and Chargerette Athletics. Johnson Machine Works is a company proud of its culture, traditions, and spirit of rural America. Johnson Machine Works is proud to bring you this live broadcast.
At Community First Credit Union, we're running full speed ahead by offering fixed auto loans as low as 1.99% APR for up to 66 months. Take advantage of our limited time offer and refinance today. Or get yourself that new car you've been saving up for with an auto loan rate as low as 1.99% APR. Putting the community first at Community First Credit Union. APR is annual percentage rate. Terms and qualifications apply. Direct deposit required. Rates subject to change at any time. Federally insured by the NCUA.
And welcome back to the pregame show. Joe Millage, Jim Frank, as we continue to talk to some special guests on the program. Appreciate Butch Gibbs being along with us. But now we've got actually a member, Jim Frank, of that 1972 squad. Actually somebody that played for the Chargers at State, at Vets Auditorium. And he's on the phone with us, Jim.
Well, when you talk about big men, Sheraton hasn't had a big man in the middle of that lineup for years and years. As a matter of fact, this may be the only big man we ever had on that team. And we've got Jim Greeley, that was a fantastic member of that 72 basketball team that went to State for the Chargers.
Well, what makes you so big, Jim?
just a hereditary, I guess.
How tall are you, or how tall were you when you played for Sheraton in 72?
I'm 6'8", and my son says I'm beginning to shrink, but I think I'm about 6'8" still.
Osteoporosis setting in then, huh?
he's gonna shrink down to his wife's size, which I think is about 6'2", so.
Wow. Well, hey, Jim, it's really good to have you on the air with us, and, you know, especially going in here to the this momentous occasion for the Chargers. The last time, and I know this has been said multiple times, the last time the Chargers stepped out onto a state basketball court was when you stepped onto a state basketball court. So tell us a little bit about what your recollections are from that year.
Well, first thing I'll tell you is I was looking at the the register had some pictures of Sheraton's win here last week, and so I was going through those pictures, and there was the crowd or the team celebrating after the game, and it brought back memories of our pictures that we had when we won sub-state, and it was against Indianola, and Scott Curtis was hugging, I believe, Jay Hammond. I won't guarantee who that was, but that's my favorite picture of Scott over the years, just how excited he was to know we were going to be going to Vets, and that was a goal of ours for a long, long time.
You know, Sheraton has a huge gymnasium, but Vets Auditorium also is just a completely different level. What was it like for you guys when you walked out on the floor at Vets that first time?
Well, we were actually able to play in Vets in that sub-state game, and so that was – but it was pretty exciting, but not quite the same level as when you know that it's part of the state tournament. So that's pretty cool. It's a pretty good recollection, that's for sure.
You got to play two games in sub-state up there, didn't you? Wasn't the Oskaloosa game there, too?
Maybe right. I don't remember for sure.
Indianola was the first sub-state game, and then we had to come back and play Oskaloosa.
That's not the way I remember, but you could be right.
Well, yeah, but you've been on those drugs all these years. And
well, we can make it up at this point. But listen, Jim, Bob Kane, that was his first year. We're going to talk to Bob here coming up in a little bit. I mean, what are your thoughts? What are some of the things that you remember about Bob, or even his coaching or coaching style, or maybe even what he told you before you went out on the court those times?
I have no memory of what he told us that particular game. Bob was a great coach and just a fun fellow for us to play for. We kind of outmanned a few teams that we played. And I can remember playing, I won't even say who it was, but anyway, his pregame pep talk was, we know you're going to go out there and beat this team. You know you're going to beat them. So go out and have a good time, and we're going to keep the starters in for most of the first half and the beginning of the second half, and go out and have fun. And we just had a riot that particular game. We were showboating a little bit, I'm afraid, but we did have a good time, and he allowed us to do those things.
Jim, we're on the phone with Jim Greeley from that 1972 team. And, Jim, you know, a lot of successful basketball teams, you hear about the players that have played with each other since they were in elementary school or even before. Do you have any recollection going back then, your teammates? Did you hang out a lot? Did you guys play a lot of basketball? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I moved to town in beginning of my fifth grade, and I was in Garfield, and Bob Foote and I were classmates at Garfield along with Bruce Rhodes, and we, back in those days, I don't know if they continue it now, but they had what they called a carnival where each sixth grade had a team and they'd play each other in a carnival. We'd practice for a bunch of Saturdays in a row, and then the high school kids would come out and coach you, and then on a Saturday night, we'd have a little tournament. And so our Garfield won that year. We beat the other team, which we ended up beating Curtis and Hammond. Not Hammond, excuse me. Another fellow by the name of John Bound, but on the one of the Van Allen teams. So anyway, and then we'd also play in Dick Thrillkill's backyard, and his wife would come out and bring us cookies, and because they enjoyed having us over and playing in their backyard. So anyway, we played a long, long time together. the person that I have to credit with keeping me enthused in basketball so much is Brant Yoakam. Brant was a year ahead of me, and Brant's dad gave him a Standard Oil credit card in a car, and we went everywhere to play basketball. And we'd go to Des Moines and play on up at Drake Park or at the Drake Field House or the YMCA. And we'd go down to Lamoni and play Graceland on weekends. We went to William Penn and got in a league over there. Just had a lot of fun, and Brant was well-known for, back then you didn't have cell phones, of course, and he's well-known to come down to my house and drag me out and say, it's time to go practice basketball. Great, great guy. So anyway, that's who I have to credit with helping me work my way up and through basketball. But the rest of us, we played along with Brant. We played all the time. That was summer nights over at by the pool. There was a basketball court on the tennis courts, and we'd get told we had to turn the lights off at 10:30, and it was not uncommon for the police to have to come and remind us of that. And so we played a lot.
I remember the year that you guys went to the state tournament. The newspaper came out, and there was an article that told how there wasn't a single basketball or basketball hoop in any store in town because all the young kids had gone out. They were wanting to be basketball players and wanting to be Chargers later down the line.
That's pretty cool.
Well, again, we're on with Jim Greeley from that 1972 team. You know, Jim, what do you think, what was the recipe for success back then for the 72 Chargers? What do you think it was?
Well, number one, we did play a lot together, and there was a lot of unselfishness among the team. We didn't really care who scored, and we, although Fred and Curtis tend to go down and make a lot of layups while I didn't even make it past half court, we still had a lot of fun. And just the idea that we had a real opportunity to have some success with it.
Very good. Jim Greeley on the line with us now. And, Jim, before we let you go, your son, I believe the apple didn't fall too far from the tree, played a little bit of college basketball as well.
Yeah, I gotta gloat a little bit. He is the all-time leading scorer at Newton High School. Went on and played at Minnesota State University up in Mankato for 4 years. Played in every game but one in that four-year career, and just had a very nice career. He's a short inch shorter than me, and heck of a lot more talent than I was. How about that?
Very good. Well, Jim, thanks a lot for joining us. I know you won't be able to be here at Wells today, but you'll be rooting for the Chargers, I'm sure.
That's for sure. Hopefully they get a win, and I get to see them play Thursday night. I hear that the second game will be Thursday night, and I will be back in town that night.
Very good. Well, the Chargers with a chance here at 2 o'clock with a tip-off, and we'll be back with more right after this on Thunder Country KIIC.
This is Uncle Sam, and I want you to keep your money this tax season. U.S. Cellular is offering $100 off all smartphones for new lines, so devices like the Galaxy S4 are only a penny. Penny, I salute you. U.S. Cellular, hello better.
New two-year agreement, $35 activation fee, and shared data plan required. Other restrictions apply. See store for details.
Stop in today at Boyd's Cellular, your local authorized agent of U.S. Cellular, for more details. Boyd's has four locations to serve you. New Sharon, Grinnell, Newton, and Albia.
Kent Farm Management leads the way to great real estate investments, and Kent Farm Management is investing in community. Kent Farm Management, a proud sponsor of live regional sports on Thunder Country KIIC.
And back on our pregame show. Welcome back, everybody. Tip-off just a few minutes away, it seems. Both teams out on the court getting things ready to go and taking some practice shots. Joe Millage along with Jim Frank here with the pregame as Jake Schroeder and Mark Felderman are getting ready courtside for today's play-by-play, and I know they're anxious for that. But right now we've got Larry Meixel on the phone. Larry, one of the premier broadcasters for first KYRS and KELR back in the day. And first of all, Larry, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Larry, not only did you get to see some great basketball, you had a great athlete that was your son. Mark Meixel played for that 1987 squad that nearly made it to state back in 87. They lost over in Ottumwa to Washington by 6 points. And but really a great year to follow the Chargers back in 87.
That is an unbelievable experience to be able to do live broadcast of a team like that with your boy playing on it. It was just an unreal experience.
And, Larry, I believe the Chargers – oh, Jim, help me out. On 1987, you've got the records in front of you, Jim Frank. How did the Chargers do in 87?
Chargers won 18-3. They lost that game to Washington by a score of 60-54 down at Ottumwa.
And even actually looking at the first game of that 1987 squad, throttled Mormon Trail.
I don't even remember Sheraton's varsity ever playing Mormon Trail. I don't remember that one, but it's on the ticket here. They beat him 82-24.
Well, Larry, we wanted to get you on the phone real quick and you know, bring you in. It's a momentous day for Sheraton going to the state tournament, but you called a lot of Sheraton basketball, boys and girls, and I'm just curious what some of your recollections were from either that 1987 team or that Ottumwa game or anything else, Larry.
Oh, an unreal experience. Just unreal. You just have to be so proud of your town and your kids. When they can get something done like that, it's just unreal.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
The game down at Ottumwa against Washington had an unusual turn. The 87 boys basketball team was a strictly fast break team. Tallest kid on the team was Scott Newell, and I don't suppose he was much over 6'2", if that. And they were strictly fast break. And during that game, they were jerking the ball when the other team would shoot and make a basket. They would grab it, throw it down court, and get an easy fast break 2 points. So in the second quarter, the officials called a timeout and put new nets up on the court that the ball wouldn't go through. The nets were so tight that the ball wouldn't go on through the net. So that stopped Sheraton's fast break and cost him a victory.
Well,
an unreal decision.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be very fair for sure. But Larry
wouldn't ever jump on an official. I never, ever heard Larry get on an official in my life.
He'd only get on them if they were wrong, Jim Frank.
If they were wrong or if they were me.
Oh, you were never right.
See? He still doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, you know, Larry, you've interviewed a lot of coaches over the years as well. Jim Swanson, coached that 1987 team. He obviously had a love for basketball. And that team, Larry, you were telling me before, those boys played basketball, I think, out on the farm all together years ago.
Year round. They, when football practice was over, they headed for the gym to shoot baskets. When baseball was practice was over or game was over, they run across to those baskets there by the swimming pool and shot baskets. When they come out to our house, they shot baskets. Earl Kane had a barn that they cleared out, nailed a hoop to the wall, and shot baskets in there all winter. So it was just pure dedication.
Very good. Well, it was a great team, and they came 6 points away in 1987 from going to Wells Fargo Arena. It was a magical team. Scott Newell and Chad Dara and Brian Andreessen, Lee Lowe, Lee Kane, Royal Peterson, Mark Meixel, and I believe the year before Dan Beatty played for them as well. And
you missed Paul Coleman.
Comer.
Paul Comer, thank you very much. And you would remember that. So thank you very much, Larry. And I know you're rooting for the Chargers today as well. And we'll try to get out a victory today.
Well, do your best. I'll be cheering.
All right, Larry Mikesell from years gone by, 105.5 KELR. Thanks a lot, Larry, for joining us. We'll be right back after this.
This Chargers sports broadcast is brought to you in part by Midwest Heritage Bank.
Congratulations to the Sheraton Chargers and Ben Schooley from Grace Baptist Church. We wish you the best at state, and may God bless you. Congratulations.
Hammer Medical, Southern Iowa's largest medical supplier, wishes the Sheraton Chargers the best at the state tournaments.
And back on our pregame show, the teams are ready to get going here at 2 o'clock, and it's our privilege now to have on our pregame show Bob Kane from Sheraton, who's still kicking around. And, Bob, you were the coach of that 1972 team, so this must be not only just a great historic and momentous occasion, but it's probably just a lot of fun for you to sit back and watch this.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. there's no pressure to me, but it's kind of exciting, and I hope the best, yeah.
And, Coach, you know, as you think back to that 72 team and your players, what are some of the thoughts that come into your mind? How much of that do you remember? I mean, 42 years is a long time ago, and I'm sure it just was a whirlwind, but how much of that do you remember?
Joe, I can remember just like it was yesterday. I can't remember what happened yesterday, but I can remember 42 years ago. It was very vivid.
Well, take us through some of those thoughts. I mean, even the locker rooms at Vets Auditorium, or when you came out on that court to play, and all the fans that came up from Sheraton to watch you guys play. Or what are some of your thoughts?
Well, you know, we played two games on the floor at Vets before we went in the state tournament. We played a couple sub-state teams in their games, and we had the experience of playing there before. See, Rep. Kennedy did. I don't know if they'd ever practiced. We practiced up there one day before the game, but we played there twice. We played Indianola, and we played Oskaloosa in the sub-state. First round, first sub-state, and then in the finals of sub-state. So, and, you know, people, I never seen so many people in my life. I mean, people that never came to any games at home, but, man, they were at the state tournament. They get all excited.
Yeah, and, Coach, I mean, that back then, that had to just been, you know, the thing. Everybody was probably just a buzz and talking about it, and they are today, too. But, you know, for that to have happened back in 72, I'm sure that's probably why a lot of fans decided to come out back then and why you had such a great crowd.
Oh, yeah, it was, you know, it's like anything else. As long as you're winning, man, they're really behind you. I think probably about 3 or 4 years later, I don't think that we could even – you find us, see, I mean, this places in our gym when they didn't come out because we weren't doing too good then. But once you're winning, man, they're always supportive.
Yeah. You had to give away free popcorn maybe a few years later to get the seats filled in. Well, we're on with Bob Kane, and Bob, you came to Sheraton back in 1967. So what a whirlwind for you just a few short years later to take a team to the state tournament. What do you remember about your players or some of the skill positions? You know, we talked a little bit earlier with Jim Greeley on the air, and I didn't realize this kid was 6'8", if I'm not mistaken.
And yeah, about 6'7", 6'8". Yeah.
Obviously, that was one of your key positions. But what do you remember about some of your other players?
Well, I had two little guards. Is probably, in my opinion, probably the best pair of guard shares ever had. Bob Foote and Scotty Curtis. And every time you'd see them. Ever since they'd grown up, they've always had a basketball in their hand, and they was always playing. And I remember we couldn't get our athletic director wouldn't let us in the gym on Sunday, and those guys they'd go up to Drake Park in Des Moines and play, and they'd go down to Grayson College on Sundays. There's one guy that I seen, I think it was from Pelle, he said, "This is the first time I haven't seen Bob Foote and Curtis around the gym with a ball." I mean, they'd graduated, and they were there. He was there the next year, and he said, "It's just funny those guys are not around because they're always in the gym with the ball." I mean, ever since they were little kids.
And Bob Kane, as their coach, it's probably fun to coach them because they probably understood what you were wanting to do. The things that you were wanting to do, they probably got it.
Well, I tell you, Joe, your dad helped a lot. He had them the year before, and he did a tremendous job with those kids when they were juniors, Greeley and Foote and Curtis. And then I had Jay Hammond and Danny Boyd as sophomores, and I had them the next year as varsity. But your dad did a very good job with those kids, those three, Greeley, Foote, and Curtis. And there's a Bruce Rhodes that played for us. Steve Woods played. Gary White played. And, Jay, of course, he got killed in a car accident several years ago. And Denny Boyd, I don't know where he's at. I seen him about 15 years ago, and he looked like he gained about 40 pounds. He was a skinny kid, about 6'4", 6'3", 6'4".
I think Jim Greeley was telling me the other night that he's in Phoenix, but I'm not sure.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I think Bob Foote and Curtis are both in Phoenix, and last I knew that Denny Boyd was down in Oklahoma, but
oh,
I'm
that's,
not sure.
I was thinking of Foote. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Coach.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Coach.
Bob Foote, he went on to play basketball 3 years at Simpson, graduated in 3 years, and got into medical school at Iowa, and he was there 2 weeks. Had to leave because he couldn't stand the cadavers. And then he went through Drake, got a pharmacy degree, went to Iowa State, played tennis. He said, "As soon as I take care of beat everybody in Ames, I'm moving." And he beat everybody in Ames in tennis. He went to Phoenix and started playing down there.
Oh, that's great stuff. Well, Coach, Coach Ben is getting ready for today's game, you know, what sort of advice would you give him? I know he's had this team for a while, but, what are some of your thoughts as they get ready to hit the court here?
Well, I mean, this is going to be a tough game. But what I can see that this team, very similar to the team we played back when we played Cedar Rapids Kennedy, they had a big guy. And named Enright, Mark Enright, later went and played at the University of Nebraska. They had an all-state guard named Kylie. And then they had a couple of forwards about 6'4", 6'5". And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think this Waller's about the same size. Plus, you know, those guys, that Enright got 31 on us, but he didn't hurt. The guys that hurt us was guys off the bench. A couple of guys came in about 6'5", 6'6", and got about 8 points among them, and that was the story of the game the first half. They were down 14, and then they beat us by 14. So second half, we played them well. But the big thing is I think they're going to have some reserves. They're going to be big. And I told Ben, I said, just tell them go out and have fun. I mean, hell, let them go. Let them play.
And Coach, that's what Jim Greeley remembers you telling them. Just, guys, we know we're going to be, throughout the season, he remembers you saying, guys, we know we're going to beat the heck out of this team. Just go out and have fun doing it.
Yeah. But, they have a chance. And I think somebody's telling me that Hawkinson played against this big center last summer. I talked to a guy from Central Decatur that said he'd seen him play, and he said Hawkinson tore this guy apart. And this guy, I don't know what his name is, but he said that he got an offer from Creighton and an offer from Iowa already. He's only a sophomore, and last summer TJ really ripped him. So we'll see. I hope he does.
Well, and Bob, I know you were listening the other day on the radio at with this game against Bondurant Farrar, but it seemed like Sheraton, at least at the beginning, was outmatched athletically. But, you know, the Chargers just stuck with it, and they kept their poise. They didn't get excited. They didn't get nervous, and they just kept after it. They functioned as a well-oiled machine, and that's how they got her done. And so maybe that's what will happen today.
Well, I think that, you know, our kids will, I mean, they're not going to back down from them, I tell you that. I mean, that Bankston's tough, and we got them other three guys down there, or Lang, you know, he's been around forever. I mean, he's had all kinds of experience playing on AAUs and so forth, and I think that, I like Felderman. He's a banger. He's a good rebounder, and he can score, so. I just hope they don't get in foul trouble, and they just go out and get them.
All right, Coach. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I know some folks may not know, you coached back in pre-1967 down in Russell. You've coached football, basketball, and track down there, right?
Yeah, sure did.
Unbelievable. Wow. Great memories.
Yeah.
All right. That's Bob Kane. Coach, thanks a lot. Go Chargers.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And we'll be right back after this.
Hot buns. Hot, fresh, homemade buns. Only at Hardee's. To see Hardee's current offers and get savings coupons, go to Hardee's.com. Proudly supporting Southern Iowa Athletics.
Jake Schroeder back here with Ben Schooley, head boys basketball coach of your Sheridan Chargers. And we are just a little bit before game time on Tuesday. Ben, you've had roughly about a week, a little over a week to finally get to this point. Give us a quick rundown on how the last week has been and how you've kept the guys focused, and then what you've done for preparation in this last couple days leading up to the game tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had about a week, like you said, preparation. Gave them the next day off after the big win. And then we went back to work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Gave them Saturday off. Practiced a little bit Sunday and Monday. I've been so proud of the way the guys have handled this past week. We've come to practice, and we've practiced hard. I really asked a lot of them the first few days since we were so far from a game. And they bought in, and they've really, really put forth a lot of effort and focus. Because it is a fine line. I've told them, you know, when you're not at practice, enjoy it. You know, people are going to be congratulating you and want your picture. And we've done a lot of things that you don't normally get to do. So I wanted them to enjoy all that. And then I said, when we come to practice, let's just try to lock in and practice. And they've done a wonderful job with that. It's been a pretty productive week, I think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The guys are kind of the toast of the town for the week, and everybody's patting them on the back. It's a great feeling, and I think it's something they'll carry for the rest of their lives. And you mentioned they've stayed focused, which is going to be really important. Dubuque Wallert. I don't know if you could have got a worse draw, to be honest. That's just my opinion. Dubuque Wallert, absolutely loaded, one of the best teams in the state. Tell me what you're expecting. Tell me what you're going to do to kind of counteract their length and their athletic ability.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe couldn't have been a worse draw. Yeah. I mean, the seeding's all by record, but they play a 4A schedule. Yeah. And so it's a tough draw. They're long. They're athletic. They're big. They're physical. We've watched them on film. I showed the guys some film. I didn't show them a ton. I mean, I don't want them to get caught up in all of that. They've been able to see their matchups and things like that, and it's going to present some problems, and it'll be a team that's different than any team we've played this year. It's a state tournament. I mean, you'd expect nothing less. But we're going to go out and compete, play with everything we got. We're going to do what we've done all year. I mean, we're not, you know, you can come up with all sorts of crazy game plans, but I think you want to do what you've done to get to this point, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Cordell Pemsel, I believe he's 6'7 or 6'8, getting a lot of Division I looks right now. How do you think we match up with him? Have you seen anything in the film that we can either exploit or get him in foul trouble? Any strategy with him at all?
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player. I mean, he's a sophomore. He's got offers, D1 offers already. He's a big physical player. He's left-handed. I'm not sure we can guard him with just one guy. We're going to have to double some. And you know, TJ's a physical player, and I think TJ will be able to hold his own.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a team effort to guard him. On the other hand, you know, I think he's got to guard us, too. too. And we've got some players that are pretty athletic and pretty physical and can do some things. So I like that part of it, too. We got to guard him, but he's got to guard us as well. Yeah. So.
Love it, Coach. I love your confidence, too, in the guys and in your team. Physically, obviously, we talk about mentally going into this game. This is your first state tournament appearance as a coach. You're the youngest coach at the state tournament, which we just informed you of. It's got to make you feel a little good, right? Mental side of it, though, you know, Sheridan hasn't been in the state tournament for 42 years. You know, what do you do? You know, is it in your your pregame speech on the bus on the way up? What do you do to just get the guys to relax? Anything special, or you just tell them to go out and just play hard like they've been doing all year, or any special words that you haven't really had to use all year?
You know, I think my message pregame is going to be pretty simple. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
For one, enjoy it, because, I mean, we may never get back here again, and these seniors definitely won't, and who knows. But so first and foremost, enjoy the experience. Running out of that tunnel that we're about to do at Wells Fargo Arena, enjoy it. And, you know, enjoy the warm-ups. Take it all in. And then when it's time to play, let's play with everything we got. Let's remember the game plan. Let's play together. Play with composure. Whatever happens, happens.
You got one last chance here. I'm gonna let you redeem yourself at the pep rally Sunday evening in Sheridan, the pep rally for the entire town. You forgot to thank one person on the stage. Is there anybody that you'd like to thank? Again, I'm going to help you redeem yourself here.
Thank you very much. I did forget to mention to thank my family, my wife and my kids. It's a huge sacrifice to be a coach's wife and kids, because there's a lot of time away from the family and a lot of, stressful times. So I do want to thank my family for